بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي أني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers, we are addressing this issue because there is a lot of confusion around and there are many people when they meet and greet, they discuss issues of deen. One of the first things they like discussing and asking is, where is Allah? In many conversations, this is their first point of discussion about deen, and this is their favorite point. And many people, you ask them, there are two main answers or two main beliefs, feelings or attitudes with regards to this issue. An ordinary Muslim, you ask him, where is Allah? And what does he say? Allah is everywhere. Most people have a feeling that Allah is around with us wherever we are, and Allah is with us, Allah is watching us, Allah has full control over us, and Allah is omnipresent. There is another view that Allah is strictly on the arsh. Both sets of views are claimed to be represented by Quran. Quran is our absolute source of knowledge, and the next source of knowledge is Sunnah and teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the arsh is above the seventh heaven. We are on earth, there's a worldly sky, smart dunya, then second sky, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Above the seventh heaven there is arsh, and on the arsh there is kursi, and the claim is Allah is seated on the kursi. That is one view. And the other view of the common people, most people by far, is that Allah is with us wherever we are. And this is what's mentioned in the Quran. When people are asked, where is Allah? Who best to answer this question? If you're talking about someone, what does that someone say about himself? There was no point at any stage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life reported in any book of hadith except one. There's only one incident reported in the entire collection of hadith when Rasulullah ever asked anyone, where is Allah? And that question wasn't posed to Abu Bakr, nor Umar, nor Usman, nor Ali, any of the Ashra, Mubashra, Badri, Sahaba, Ridwan, or any senior Sahabi, or anyone of that caliber. It was an incident which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came across a slave girl, and the issue required was to determine whether she was a believer or not, and hence the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her. And what the Prophet actually asked her is in itself confusing and controversial and unclear. In some books, in Sahih Muslim, it says the Prophet asked her, where is Allah? In another book, in another version of the same hadith, the Prophet asked her, who do you worship? In another version of the hadith, the Prophet asked her, who is your Lord? In another version of the same incident, Rasulullah asked her, hal tarifinani, do you know me? So did the Prophet actually ask her, where is Allah, or who is your Lord, or who do you worship, or do you know me? And then in response to all these questions, eventually the Prophet said, utrukha fa innaha mu'mina, leave her, she's a believer. In other words, when the incident started, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion who was involved in the situation wasn't sure whether she is a believer or not. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life never asked any Muslim or a believer, where is Allah? First thing, you can't use such an inconsistent, or in terms of hadith as is referred to, muztarib, inconsistent issue, to define a very delicate and important aspect such as this of aqidah. Aqidah is based on mutawatir, sound, authentic, firm, clear issues. But this incident in itself is mustarib and unclear. And so when you ask, where is Allah, who best to give an answer better than Allah himself? So Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. وَإِذَا سَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي, When my servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then I am near. Allah doesn't mention what the question was, but when Allah gives the answer, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am near, so we can assume and understand what was the question. So if Allah says, I'm near, what was the question? Where is Allah? So what, if Allah is on the arsh, and Quran is kitabun mubeen, clear book. So if this was an issue which was being asked, so Allah should have given a clear reply. If Allah is on the arsh, I am on the arsh. What's complicated about that? But Allah doesn't give that answer. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي, when my servants ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, I am near. Where is the arsh? Is arsh near? We're on the world, then first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, then arsh, then kursi, then Allah is on top of the kursi according to their belief. So is that near or is that far? That's the furthest point in the universe that we can relate to. But Allah says, I'm near. How near? نحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. I'm closer to you than your own jugular vein. Allah has mentioned in the Quran in another place, the scenario of a person dying. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومُ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. When the soul reaches the halaq, and there are people around, Allah says, you can't see, but we are near to them than you. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. In another verse, Allah says, هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ. Whenever three people gather, fourth is Allah. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. When five people gather, then the sixth is Allah. وَلَا أَدْنَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرْ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. No more, no less, except whoever is there, wherever they are. So people who don't want to accept that Allah is with us wherever we are, they say it doesn't imply Allah in the being. It implies Allah with His knowledge and qudrat. Not that Allah is with you wherever you are. It implies, that's an interpretation, that Allah knows everything about you. Allah has full control over you. So it's like somebody saying, you send someone anywhere, go and do this, I'm with you all the way. Not that He's physically with you. In other words, His support is with you. When He comes to Aqeedah, we're talking about what Allah is saying. We are not talking about interpreting Quran according to linguistics. We are talking about belief in Allah. This is Allah mentioning Himself. When Allah is Ahkamul Hakimin, Rabbul Alameen, Quran is for the whole of humanity to understand clearly. Why is there such confusion then caused? But this is the way, then the answer is, this is the way people speak normally. Okay, if that is the way people speak normally, number one, this is your interpretation or their interpretation, not what Allah is saying. Allah doesn't say anywhere, I'm with you with my knowledge and qudrat. Allah always says, I am with you in the being. But they say, no, it implies His knowledge and qudrat. He Himself is on the arsh. Because He says, Ar-Rahmanu alal arsh istawa. Now this issue of istawa alal arsh is mentioned in around 9 places in the Quran. In 2 places, Allah says, Thumma istawa ila sama. Towards, Allah made istiwa. Normally, in normal speech, istawa means to be seated upon something. فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ عَلَى الْفُلْكِ فَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. When you have mounted the ark, then say. So normal people, it means to be seated. But when Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, you don't seat towards the heavens. You understand? Most of you understand Arabic, huh? Istawa, if it was only alal arsh, you could say seated, perhaps. But when Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, Allah made istiwa towards the heavens, then it cannot mean be seated on the heavens. You understand? There are other verses in the Quran in which Allah does say, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, Allah made istiwa upon the arsh. Here people translate, Allah rose above. Some people translate it as He was seated on the arsh. Some say He rose above the arsh. But in all these places mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, in Surah Araf, إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. In Surah Yunus, in Surah Ra'ad, إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. And in again in another place, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, in Surah Furqan, Surah Hadid, إن ربكم إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على الأرش. In all these incidents, Allah has mentioned استوى إلى السماء or استوى على الأرش. At every time, including Surah طه, الرحمن على الأرش استوى. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على الأرش استوى. In every one of these places is with reference to the first time Allah created the heavens and the earth. And then Allah made istiwa upon the arsh and towards the heavens. Now the question then arises, where was Allah before the arsh? Because arsh isn't qadim, arsh is hadith. Which means there was a time when the arsh did not exist. And this is unanimously accepted by Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Arsh is hadith, meaning created. So there was a time when arsh did not exist. So when the arsh did not exist, where was Allah then? You understand? So Allah is the same place where He's always been. كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٍ. Imam Bukhari states there was Allah and there was nothing else. No arsh, no heavens, no anything. So the whole issue of istiwa, and then we need to understand, when Allah says, there is another verse in the Quran in which it is stated, وَلِلَّهِ Surah Baqarah, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِفُ أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. For Allah are the heavens and the earth, whichever way you turn, you will find the face of Allah. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا, wherever you turn, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, there will be the face of Allah. If Allah is with people with regards to His knowledge and qudrat, face is not of knowledge and qudrat, attributes of Allah. Knowledge and qudrat are attributes of Allah. Attributes don't have faces. Face belongs to the being, the personality. So when Allah says, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, it simply cannot be knowledge and qudrat. It has to be of His being. So Allah, and Shaykh Uthaymeen, who is recognized as one of the leading Salafi scholars in his Shara Aqidah Wasitiyah, he said, this فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ is in reality the face of Allah. So whichever way you turn is the face of Allah, not His knowledge and qudrat, then it implies automatically wherever you are, Allah is with you with His being. You understand? And in Sahih Bukhari, in the chapter in Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا كَانَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قِبَلَ وَجْهِهِ. Whenever any one of you prays anywhere, then Allah is in front of your face. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, قِبَلَ وَجْهِهِ, in front of His face. So how can it possibly be fitting to say, when you are praying, Allah's knowledge and qudrat is in front of your face. You don't have an attribute in front of anyone in front of your face. If something is in front of your face, then it is His being, His presence. This is Sahih, undisputed hadith. The hadith of Sahih Muslim Jariyah is a controversial, ambiguous, inconsistent hadith. This is a clean, pure hadith. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قِبَلَ وَجْهِهِ. Whenever any one of you prays, Allah is in front of His face. So, and then we need to understand the issue of istiwa. What is istiwa? Istiwa is a sifat of failure for Allah. Allah has two sorts of attributes. One are personal attributes, the other are His sifat. Failure. Sifat is atiya, personal attributes, and His sifat of His affairs and actions. Allah's personal attributes are seven. Allah's many attributes, each name represents an attribute of Allah. Many attributes of Allah which Allah does out of actions. They have opposites as well. Like Allah gives life, Allah gives death, Allah gives happiness, Allah gives sorrow, Allah elevates and Allah lowers, Allah humiliates and Allah honors and humiliates, Mu'izz and Muzil, Nafi wa Dhar, Muhyi Mumit. But there are seven attributes which are considered personal. They've always been with Allah and they do not have opposites. First of those is Al-Hayy. Allah is living. Allah has always been ever living. There was never, the opposite of living is dead. Can death be assigned to Allah? Never. So Allah is ever living. Al-Hayy, number one. Number two, Allah is Qadir. Qadir means able. Opposite of able is unable, ajiz. Inability cannot be assigned to Allah. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah is Qadir. Third, Allah is Alim. Alim means all-knowing. Opposite of knowledge is ignorance. Can ignorance be assigned to Allah? No. So Allah is Alim. Allah is Hayy. Allah is Qadir. Allah is Alim. And Allah is Sami. Sami means all-hearing. Opposite of hearing is deafness. Can deafness be assigned to Allah? No. Allah is Basir. Basir means all-seeing. Opposite of seeing is blind. Can blindness be assigned to Allah? No. And as well as that, Allah has the power to communicate, make kalam. Being able to talk, a person who can't talk, we say he is dumb. So can dumbness be assigned to Allah? What is Quran? Quran is kalamullah. Speech of Allah. Speech of Allah is haqq. So these are Allah's personal attributes. They have no opposites. There are other sifat, a failure, which have opposites. I've given some example. Allah gives life and Allah gives muhyi and mumit. Allah gives benefit, Allah gives harm. Nafi wa dar. Allah elevates and Allah lowers. And there are many such attributes. So, istawa thumma istawa ila sama wa thumma istawa ala al-arsh. It is not a personal attribute of Allah, but a failure. One of his sifat, a failure. In other words, all these personal attributes have always been with Allah since these things do not have a beginning. As long as Allah has been there, they've always existed with Allah. But istiwa ala al-arsh is not a personal sifat of Allah because there was a time arsh didn't exist. You understand? So istiwa ala al-arsh is not a zati sifat of Allah but a sifat e faili. And sifat e faili can have opposites as well. So when Allah made istiwa ala al-arsh, Allah can be upon the arsh, and Allah, there are times when Allah might not be on the arsh. For example, if anybody says Allah is on the arsh, then that means, and they say he's not here, he's there. If he's there and not here, then that means Allah will have a body or a limit. And this is the thing about makhluk. Makhluk has limits in terms of space and time. There was a time we didn't exist, there will be a time we won't exist. We are in one place and not in another place. So if Allah is on the arsh and not here, that means Allah has some sort of confinement, some body. And if Allah has a body, body is made of matter, of johar. And if it's made of a johar, has a limit, has a body, then it can be contained in a place. If Allah is on the arsh, then Allah is the makin, and arsh becomes the makan. And makan overlaps or surrounds the makin. We are makin, masjid is makan, so masjid surrounds us. So makan is always bigger than the makin. Yes? Makan. So if Allah is on the arsh, then Allah becomes the makin, arsh becomes the makan, arsh will surround Allah, but Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. Allah surrounds everything. So Allah is the one who surrounds the arsh. Arsh cannot surround Allah. So Allah cannot be confined to the arsh. You understand? If Allah is on the arsh, it will automatically imply, the argument will lead to the fact that Allah has a size, because if He's there and not here, then that means Allah will have a body. And a body requires to be made of matter. If Allah is made of matter, then it will have a makan, and the makan will then surround Allah. Allah will become the makin, and the arsh will become makan. Allah will become surrounded. The Quran negates that and says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. Allah is the one who surrounds everything. Things cannot surround Allah. Arsh, whatever it is still a creation of Allah. You understand? Then people ask, if Allah is everywhere, so our aqidah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, Allah exists, number one, without body, and Allah laysa bijismin wala johrin. Allah is not made of a body, and Allah is not made of matter. Allah exists without a body, without matter. Hence, not confined to space. Allah exists without space. But most people can't understand what it means without space. So for ease of understanding, then it's usually translated to mean Allah is everywhere. But the actual aqidah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is Allah exists without space. So when people, but for public, for ordinary people, we imply that Allah is everywhere. And then people say, well, if Allah is everywhere, is Allah in the toilet? Have you heard that? You've heard that. Huh? That's what people say. Well, if Allah is everywhere, is He in the toilet? There are a number of answers to this. Firstly, there are many things in life that when we speak about them generally, no problem. When we talk about specifics, then there are problems. For example, Allah says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمَا وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah has made your eyes and ears and your heart and mind. Huh? But there are other parts of body as well, known as privates. So will any decent human being, Muslim, say, Allah has made my, that part as well? But is it not Allah who made it? But to speak about specifics is disrespectful. When we say Allah has made everything, acceptable. Everything includes that. Yes? But when you talk specifically, then it becomes disrespectful. A man and a woman got married. A man says, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, I'm very happily married. That means the wife looked after him, he's happy with her, she's beautiful, whatever, she looks after him, he looks after her. No problem. Happily married, you talk generally, you understand everything about the relationship is good. But does a person need to say that special relationship is super? If he starts describing that relationship, you'll say, the guy's lost the plot. So when you talk generally, acceptable. When you talk specifically, then not appropriate. So when we say Allah is with us everywhere, acceptable. Why do you want to go into the specifics? But if they go into specifics, that is Allah in the toilet? Will anyone take this Quran into the toilet? Why? This Quran has a body. Yes? Actual Quran is words of Allah. This Quran has a body because we printed it. So as this Mus'haf is makhluk, but the nature of Quran is not makhluk. Yes? One is Quran in the Mus'haf. Will anyone take it to the toilet? But Allah says in the Quran, بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Real Quran is verses of Allah in the hearts of people. So there's one Quran in the Mus'haf and one Quran in your hearts. When a hafiz, Mawlana, Allama, Mufti, when he goes to the toilet, does he not take that Quran with him into the toilet? Mawlana Sahib, you should not go to the toilet. Because there's Quran in your heart. Does anyone ever say that? Is there any problem with that guy taking that Quran in the mind and the heart into the toilet? Why? Because that Quran exists without body. The Quran in your heart and mind is Quran without body. This Quran is with body. But we believe Allah exists without body. So just as the Quran being taken to the toilet without body, people say, well, that is mahfuz, not mawjood. Well, if something is, how can it be mahfuz if it is not mawjood? Being mahfuz depends upon being mawjood. Mawjood means exists. Mahfuz means being safe. Mahfuz is dependent upon mawjood. If something doesn't exist, how can it be mahfuz? So there is a Quran in the heart of a Hafiz, Qari, Mawlana, Mufti. Either Muftis shouldn't go to the toilet, or if they go to the toilet, that means they are taking the Quran into the toilet. But that Quran is no problem, because it's in your hearts and minds, exists without a body. And this is our aqidah regarding Allah. Allah exists without body. You understand? So number one, when you talk generally, no problem. Specifics, disrespectful. Number two, if we believed Allah had a body, and then we say Allah was in the toilet, then it'll be problematic. But we don't believe that. We believe Allah exists without body. Thirdly, when something is in something, like when you put sugar in water, in a cup of tea, what happens to the sugar?
Dissolves.
Why does it dissolve? Because it has a body. That's known as hulul. So if Allah is, people say, well, if Allah is everywhere, is He in things as well? Nonsense. We don't believe Allah exists in humans, or in animals, or in His makhluk, because Allah exists without body. Like a sugar dissolves in a cup of tea, because sugar has a body. The water has a body, sugar has a body, so the sugar dissolves, makes hulul in the cup of tea, because it has a body. We believe Allah exists without body, so Allah doesn't make hulul in His creation. There are other things, when you mix them, either they dissolve or they stay, and sometimes when they stay, for example, when you make fruit salad, cucumber, tomatoes and other things, you cut them up and you mix them together, they don't dissolve, they stay separate. They maintain their identity because they have a body. But Allah exists without a body. So there is no problem whatsoever. Finally, one other argument. You understand? Yes? So when there's another argument, there are other arguments as well, but I asked for 15, it's almost half an hour. One major argument which people say Allah is on the arsh, and not everywhere, is the fact when Rasulullah went to Miraj. So if this Allah is everywhere, why did Rasulullah go to Miraj? Why didn't Allah speak to Rasulullah on the earth? Good point, huh? Yes? Well, when Allah took Rasulullah to Miraj, it's not because Allah is on the arsh and Rasulullah wanted to go there. Many a times we talk to people in places which are suitable for their status. Sometimes you'll meet people on the street. You'll just say, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, alright, goodbye, khalas. Meeting with them on the street is good enough. Other people you might say, invite them to your home. Because of their relationship with you. Somebody else you might want to meet, you might make arrangements to meet them in a special place. Because of their special status. So when Allah invited Rasulullah to the heavens in Miraj, it's not because Allah is in the heavens, it's because of the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah talks to all of us. When we pray, we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah answers. You know the hadith? Hamidani Abdi, Majjadani Abdi, Hada Baini Bain Abdi. You know the hadith? So Allah talks to one of us. Where? Whenever we are in Salat, anywhere, Allah talks to all of us. If Allah is on the arsh, Allah also talked to Musa alayhi salam. Where? On Tur. So if Allah is on the arsh, Allah should have taken Musa alayhi salam to Tur as well. But Allah talked to him where? On Tur. That was a special meeting fitting for the status of Musa alayhi salam. When Allah wanted to talk to Rasulullah specially, Allah didn't just talk in the masjid. Allah invited Rasulullah to a very special place to show His honor and status. Not that Allah is there. Allah is with you wherever you are. But Allah wanted to honor Rasulullah. So Allah talked to Rasulullah, not in any masjid or on Tur or on top of the Kaaba. Allah talked to Rasulullah on the arsh in order to prove His greatness, nobility and status in the eyes of Allah, not because Allah is on the arsh. You understand? So our aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is Allah exists. Also, another sahih hadith, which is not mustarib, clear, sound, authentic, reported in Sahih Muslim and others. When Rasulullah would go on a journey, Rasulullah would say, the dua of Safar, there are two duas. One dua is for riding whatever you are traveling upon. Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. This is the dua for riding a camel or whatever you're riding upon, or the car. But the actual dua for Safar is Allahumma antas inna as'aluka fi safarin hadha albirra wa taqwa wa min al-amali ma tarda allahumma hawwin alayna safaran hadha wa tuwi anna bu'da allahumma inna na'udhu bika min wa'tha'i safar wa ka'abati al-manzar wa su'il munqalab, so on, and then at the end allahumma antas sahibu fi safar. Sahib means companion. Ya Allah, I'm going on a journey, but you are with me. Is sahib suhba, being, companionship, is not of knowledge and qudrat. Companionship is of being. So if Allah, you are going on a journey, Allah is with you. So what about your home? Anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. You are with me. My family is not alone either. You are with them as well. So sahibu fi safar, with me and with my family. So everywhere. So what's the problem? You understand? So our aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is in light with Quran and is in light with sahih, authentic, sound narrations. Allah exists without space, without time, but that's the actual definition. But people, ordinary people, can't understand that. So for their benefit, we say Allah is everywhere, and that's no problem, because that's what it says in the Quran as well. Huwa ma'akum aina ma kuntum, wherever you are, Allah is with you. Who better to answer than Allah Himself? And the answer Allah gave was not that I am on the arsh. The answer Allah gave, I am near. How near? Closer to you than your jugular veins, closer to you than anybody else. Whichever way you turn, fathamma wajhullah, there will be the face of Allah. Face is not of knowledge and qudrat, but of being. And the hadith states, when you are in salah, Allah is in front of your face. When you travel anywhere, Allah is your companion. Allah is your companion and the companion of your family. And everybody has family everywhere, so Allah is with you. So it cannot be, if Allah is on the arsh, nowhere else. If Allah is on the arsh, nowhere else. But then it also says in Bukhari, Muslim, many books of hadith, that every night Allah descends to the worldly sky in the later part of the night. If Allah is on the arsh, nowhere else, then when He descends to the worldly sky, because He descended, so He can't be on the arsh. He's on the worldly sky in the later part of the night. For example, 3 o'clock, say in South Africa, Allah decided to come to the worldly sky. Nuzul ila sama'i dunya. 3 o'clock is later part of the night here, 1 hour later in the Atlantic, 2 hours later further in the Atlantic, 5 hours later in America, then the Pacifics, then Australia. So all around the clock He's on the worldly sky. So if Allah was on the earth and He made Nuzul, had a body, then is He ever on the earth? You understand? So we don't talk about, we understand Allah to be everywhere, wherever Allah says. Now, actual definition of our aqidah regarding Allah is Allah exists without space. We can't confine Allah to space. Space can't hold Allah. But people can't understand that. Allah exists without space. What does it mean? People don't understand that. So Allah has said, He's with you wherever you are. So ulama, some ulama, for ease of understanding, they say it means everywhere. But the actual aqidah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is Allah exists without space. Space can't contain, because space itself is a creation. So the creation can't withstand, hold the creator. So Allah exists without space. But ordinary people can't understand that. So we translate it to make it simple, that Allah exists everywhere. Everywhere. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sallam.